We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 today, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 20. But before we start in verse 20, let's go back to verse 18, because this is a section that we're looking at here, and it is one long sentence. So let's go back to verse 18, where Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now that last statement, "be filled with the Spirit," is the command in this section. This is the command that really tells us what he means by those words in the next three verses. Because what you find in verse 19, 20, and 21 describes what we're to do as we're filled with the Spirit. The command is in verse 18. And how to carry out that command in these words of Paul is found in the following verses. So here's the meaning of what Paul is saying. Be filled with the Spirit, verse 18. How? Number one is in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Number two, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three is in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So you find those words at the beginning of those three verses, 19, 20, and 21. Those words describe what he means by that command. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking, giving thanks, and submitting. With that in mind, then, and since we've already covered verse 19, let's begin in verse 20 today. Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful is one of the most important responsibilities that we have as Christian people. It's easy to forget. It is easy to take things for granted. And the Bible tells us that we need to train ourselves. We need to develop the habit of giving thanks. I don't mean by that that we simply say the words and don't even mean it or think about it, but that we have to continually remind ourselves that what we have is from God above. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, James 1, verse 17. The Bible says in Him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17, verse 28. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about giving thanks, and this one is very particular, isn't it? It is very specific. Notice the wording again. Giving thanks always. And not only giving thanks always, that is, be thankful and be thankful continually in your life, not just once a day, certainly not once a year on Thanksgiving, but be thankful, be grateful in your heart continually. He says, giving thanks always, and giving thanks always for all things, that is, for all good things, everything that God has blessed you with. You don't want to give thanks because you've done something wrong. So all things here doesn't mean literally, universally, anything that might come to a person's life or that a person might even do. He's talking about all things that God has given us, all good things in our lives. So we're to have a grateful attitude. Notice now and put this together with verse 19 and verse 18. He said, be filled with the Spirit. And as you're filled with the Spirit, you're to speak. That is, you're to sing. Verse 19. And then he says, to be thankful and give thanks in verse 20. Be thankful to God and express that gratitude in your heart and in your life. Then in verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In order to understand what he's talking about in verse 21, you have to keep reading. Many people only look at verse 21 and then the next three verses, and they stop reading. In verse 21, he says that we are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. What happens many times is that people immediately start drawing conclusions about that as to who is to submit to whom. And what we need to do is to let Paul tell us what he means by that. So let's begin. In verse 22, 23 and 24, he gives us the first example, the first case of how that Christians are to submit. That is, wives are to submit to their own husbands. That's verse 22, 23, and 24. Then, after Paul tells the wives to submit to their own husbands in those verses, he reminds the husbands that they're to love their wives as their own bodies, as themselves. And that will take you from verses 25 throughout the rest of this chapter. But we don't need to stop there, because Paul continues this thought in chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." That is the second case. That is the second example of submitting to each other. Now, that doesn't mean that the parents submit to the children. It says that the children submit to the parents. But that's the second case of what he's introduced in chapter 5, verse 21. But the thought does not stop there either, because in chapter 6, verse 5, Paul gives another example. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." So now he talks to these servants, these slaves, and he tells them to obey their masters. Now, the idea of submitting to and obeying somebody is basically the same idea. So even though he uses different words here, even though he says in verse 21, submitting, and he uses the word subjection or being subject as far as the wives are concerned, back in chapter 5, 22 through 24, and he uses the word obey in chapter 6, verse 1, and in chapter 6, verse 5, he uses the word obedient. He's talking about the same general idea, and that is that we are to submit ourselves. The Bible teaches that in this life, it is right and it is our responsibility to obey certain people who have authority over us. If you take this out of the Bible, if you take this out of life, then there will only be chaos. We sometimes call this delegated authority. And what that means is that God has delegated authority to certain people in this life to make decisions for other people. And those other people are obligated in the sight of God and for their own good and for society's good to submit to and obey those people that have authority over them. So Paul gives these three examples of submission here. And of course, the Bible in other places gives other duties where we have the obligation to submit to people who have authority over us. For instance, the Bible says in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, that we are to submit to the laws of the land. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's Romans 13, verse 1. The Bible teaches that principle in many other passages. But the Bible also says that members of a congregation are to submit to and obey the elders in that congregation. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." So the Bible teaches that we're to obey the laws of the land, Romans 13, 1 through 7. The Bible teaches us that we're to obey our elders in the church, Hebrews 13, verse 17. And as Paul says here, wives are to obey their husbands, children are to obey their parents, and servants are to obey their masters. And so it's easy to see that the overall and the general idea of the New Testament is that Christians are not to be lawless people. They're not to be stubborn people who refuse to do what other people tell them to do. Christians are law-abiding, cooperative, and yielding people. That doesn't mean that Christians are to go along with things that are wrong. That doesn't mean that Christians are to obey people that tell them to do or to believe things that are sinful. But it does mean that in areas of judgment, that God has given authority to certain people to make those decisions, and the rest of us have the obligation before God to obey those people. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5, verse 21, and look at these words again. Paul says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And Paul explains what he means by that in the verses that follow. And the problem that oftentimes arises with people who look at this verse is that they don't look at what follows all the way into chapter 6. They only read verse 21, through 24, and perhaps into verse 25 and 26. And they come up with a misconception. And that wrong idea is this. Some people look at verse 21 and say, well, I admit the Bible teaches that we're to obey certain people. We're to be in subjection to the rulers of the land. Children are to submit to their parents. Wives are to submit to their husbands. But, they go on to say, this verse says, submitting yourselves one to another. And so they mistakenly conclude that everybody is subject to everybody. For instance, in verses 22 through 24, Paul says that wives are to submit to their own husbands. Now, the interpretation that I'm talking about is oftentimes given to what follows. Because right after Paul says for the wives to submit to their husbands, he talks about the husbands loving their wives. And sometimes people look at verse 21 and say something like this. Well, yes, the Bible says that wives are to submit to their husbands, but he says just before that that we're all to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. So that means not only that the wives are to submit to the husbands, but also that the husbands are to submit to the wives. And that is not at all what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 5. Remember, the section goes into chapter 6. So drop down to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, would anybody think that a child would have the right to say, well, but verse 21 back in chapter 5 says that all of us are to submit ourselves to each other. So that means just as we're subject to our parents have to be subject to us. That would be ridiculous. That is not what the Bible teaches. And not only that, in chapter 6, verse 5, Paul says, servants, be obedient to your masters. Would those servants have the right to say, well, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, that all of us are to submit to each other, so therefore we don't have to do what you say, you have to obey us just as well. And that would be just as ridiculous as children saying you have to submit to us as well as we have to submit to you. That's not what Paul is saying here about servants and masters. That's not what he's saying about children and their parents. And that's not what he's saying about wives and husbands. The idea that everybody is equally subject to everybody else is not submission at all. In order to have submission, you have to have somebody or some people who are in charge of making decisions, and then you have to have other people that submit to and obey those people. Otherwise, the whole idea of obedience and submission is destroyed and undermined. And the Bible, in the New Testament especially, emphasizes that not only if we're going to have peace on earth do we have to recognize this, but in order to please God as Christian people, we have to have this kind of attitude. We find the same thing, interestingly, in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, Peter said, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, if you just look at that one statement, you might get the idea again that Peter is saying that everybody is equally subject to everybody else. But that is not what Peter means. Peter is doing virtually the same thing that Paul did in Ephesians with this difference. Peter gives several examples of being subject to other people in the book of 1 Peter, and then he concludes or summarizes in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, saying, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, the examples are this. He says, obey the laws of the land in chapter 2. Servants, obey your masters in chapter 2. Wives, submit to your husbands in chapter 3. Then in chapter 5, members of the church are to be in subjection to the elders. And then in chapter 5, verse 5, the younger are to submit to the older. So in those ways, all of you are to be subject one to another. So in Ephesians 5, verse 21, Paul is giving an introductory statement about being subject to other people, and then he gives the examples. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter gives examples of obeying other people, and then he gives that concluding statement about being in submission.